Hey, everybody, welcome into another episode of Investing in Real Estate. This is the show where we focus on buy and hold real estate for the purposes of creating legacy wealth for you and your family. And I love doing these case study episodes. We kind of pepper them in every few months or so, investors who maybe just got started recently. And I think there's a lot of there's a lot of relatability that people who are listening to the show can find from listening to our guests as they're in, getting started with real estate investing. And recently we've had a lot of people say, hey, am I too old to get started in real estate investing? I'm just turned 60 or I'm 59 or I'm 71 and I want to get started, but I feel like maybe I've missed the boat. Well, our next guest, his name is Paul Simon, 58 years old, just started 12 months ago. And I think he's nearing like his 10th property with us already and just bought another round of properties and is strategizing about the future right now. How to build that legacy wealth for his family. It's not just about the one property. It's about the long-term planning. So Paul and I had a great conversation last week on the phone and we said, heck, we should just jump on a podcast and talk about this sort of stuff out in the open so our listeners can also benefit from that long-term planning. Paul, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Clayton. It's great to be here.
So give us a little background, Paul. Yeah, what part of the country are you in?
We're in Houston, been here for about 35 years.
So in Houston, now you obviously a lot of focus recently on what happened down there with the Hurricane Harvey. What happened with you guys down there? You guys fare okay?
We were high and dry. I wish I could take credit for it. We purchased a home about 8 years ago inside the loop. It was just kind of a move to get my wife closer to her work because she was commuting about 35 miles one way each day. So we did that and we just happened to end up on literally a high spot here where we got no threat from the flood whatsoever. It was all around us, but we were very fortunate.
That's great. That's great. So now take me back to, we started working together, I think about 12 months ago. It's hard to believe it's already been 1 year since you your first round of rental properties. And what got you involved in real estate investing? What made you to say, you know what, I need to do something. You didn't start in your 30s. You started in your 50s.
Right. Well, it was almost forced upon us, I guess you could say. My wife and I both oil field related jobs. I'm semi self-employed. I say that because I've got a business partner and, there's always issues there. But my wife worked for a small trading firm here in town and had done so for about 32 years and was very successful there. She had been there with the original founder. Everybody liked her. She knew her job, just, dead solid, no problems. But the third generation of family were coming in to start to make their mark on the business. And as often we see, they want to out with the old, in with the new. And that's literally what happened to her just all of a sudden one Monday. Hey, I've been dismissed. Now, just prior to that, I had heard you talking on one of the tech podcasts that you're involved in, and they always ask, hey, Clayton, what's going on in your life besides technology? And you had mentioned the buy and hold real estate business that you have, and it piqued my interest, and I actually did some research right then on what you specifically were doing. And again, I just kind of filed it in the back of my mind. Well, not necessary, maybe not for me, although I knew about rental real estate investing. I just never thought it was something that I could do because I didn't know how to find them. I didn't know how to rehab them. I didn't know what areas of the country were best. I just didn't have a good idea. And I was busy running my own business and running my own life. Well, when that happened to my wife, half of our income just boom, one day went away. So I said, now would be a good time to look a little bit deeper. And that's when I booked a call with Dave in Florida, one of your guys, and we took off from there.
That's great. So tell us about the first deal. Tell us about the first house and what did that look like?
Well, it was when we called and talked to Dave, I think it was in early October, we had our meeting with him. And my wife and I just had a short discussion about it. And this may have been on a Thursday. And we said, Dave, I think we're ready to make a move. Tell me what you've got. And literally, I think it was Monday, he came back and said, hey, guys, we've got this property available. It's in a good location. We've got other folks that we've rehabbed for and other rentals in this area. You may want to give it a try. We talked it over again very briefly. We said, let's do it. What Yeah. I wasn't looking forward to living off Social Security if and when that was going to come. And so I said, hey, we got to do something. Let's give it a try. It needed a little bit of rehab. I think rehab was probably 6 weeks, something like that. And I say a little bit. Again, I'm new to the game, so I don't know what, you know, what it is relative to most rehabs. But anyway, about 6 weeks worth of rehab, that put us kind of in, probably the heart of wintertime in Indianapolis. And then we had a period of about a month, I think it was, before it rented up. And literally before you knew it, we were getting statements that say, we've deposited this amount in your checking account. We, my wife and I said, well, hey, let's do it again. And we literally called Dave or emailed him and said, hey, we're ready to go. And off we went.
That's great. I love hearing that. And yeah, you know, you deal with the winter, and if you get like a crazy amount of ice storms, it's like you never know what you can get in the winter, right? People don't want to move right around Christmas time, and you get ice storms, and who knows? But yeah, I mean, you know, it's very interesting. And you went through sort of the winter months there, and very little people asked. Someone just wrote me the other day and said, talk about some of your winter rehabs. You know, what does that look like? Mostly it doesn't slow us down unless the whole city is shut down with 4 feet of snow, you know?
Sure.
Or if it's below 17 degrees, then we can't cut siding. You know, we have to bring the siding cutting material inside with a space heater and cut it. But other than that, really little, you know, gets to slow us down. So that's great. So that was last year. That was 2016. And then slowly you've built up a portfolio of properties. And I kind of want to get to where, you know, a lot of our listeners, and we have a lot of listeners, hundreds of them, who, you know, have two properties, four properties, five properties. But I get emails on a regular basis. I'm just going through my inbox this morning, and I see folks saying, hey, I'd like to, you know, accelerate my purchases. I'd like to get to this freedom number more quickly. I'd like to start thinking long-term tax strategy, those other big things. Now, I want you to kind of go back a little bit, Paul. So when you first got your first one, you're thinking, okay, great, that was easy, rinse and repeat. Now we get our second, rinse and repeat. But now we want to start thinking about, okay, this is a tax shelter. Like this is a real wealth building mechanism. What did you and your wife start to put in place on sort of the accounting side and those sorts of pieces to really start to maximize your benefits of real estate investing?
Yeah. Well, listening to your podcast, and you have some great guests and some great information on them about the ability to depreciate properties and things like that, and also how that rental income is treated differently than, you know, I guess just a salary would be, and some of the tax benefits there. So to us, that's kind of a side benefit, Clayton, because that's really not where we focused. Again, I was trying to replace my wife's salary, forget about mine. And then after a very short period of time of again, availing myself of the information that's out there from you guys, I saw, well, wait a minute, with what we have available for investment, we can not only replace her salary, but we can replace my salary if and when I do want to retire, which I'd like to in the foreseeable future. But beyond that, and you talk about it all the time, it's legacy wealth building. I've got two daughters, one who's involved in real estate, and she sells new homes in the Denver market. It's wonderful, but she's got to sell that next home to make that commission.
Right. Whereas, it's transactional, right? It's a paycheck.
Exactly right. If I can, and I'm working on her, but if I can get her to thinking, look, take that commission and don't buy a house for yourself. Go buy a rental property that's going to pay you. And, you know, it's straight out of Robert Kiyosaki's book, right? Mm-hmm. We put that into a category of asset that pays you. And over time, everything that we're building up, Lisa and I are building up, is going to be hers and our other daughters as well. We want to ingrain in them what we're doing. Hey, this is not something for mom and dad. This is something for the family and going forward. That's really what we wanted to focus on. And Clayton, quite honestly, I don't want to work for a long time into the, especially when I'm healthy and I'm active and we want to travel and do things. I would like to, be able to say on a Tuesday, hey, we're going to run up and see your mom in Missouri. We're going to run to my folks in Louisiana. I would like the ability to do that. That's really what we started focusing on. And again, the tax advantages and things like that are all wonderful. But my focus was let's build a portfolio of properties that will replace our salary and allow us to enjoy some of our, I won't say twilight years, but some of our maturing years.
Right. Now, when you look at your passive income right now, for my listeners who aren't familiar, I call it our freedom number, right? Hitting that financial freedom number. For some people, it's $7,000 a month in passive income. Some folks, it's $12,000. I spoke to a doctor the other day. He needs to get to, I think his salary, he needs to get, 120 properties. So, for a lot of people, it's different, right? And I spoke to a nuclear scientist a few weeks ago. And I mean, I love talking to people. It's amazing how many different people are out there that have different, salaries. And he said, I'm just tired of traveling. I'm tired of going from nuclear power plant to nuclear power plant. I am sick and tired of it, but I need to replace my salary. And I want to do that with passive income. So when you look at what you and your wife have been able to do over the past year, where are you now with passive income? Like, what is your monthly flow right now?
We're in the neighborhood of about $5,000 per month. And we've still got a couple of properties in rehab that are being rehabbed, and also a new construction that we got from you here it's been about 2 weeks ago, I guess. And then we've got three more that I think we're closing on tomorrow. So right now, actual income, about $5,000, maybe a little bit more than that per month, where we are. Now, where I'd like to be, and I'm pretty conservative, when I step out and say to my partner, look, I'm gonna step out. If you want to continue, that's fine. I want to make certain that I have got enough plus some to be able to do that. So in my mind, if I have 20 to 25 properties producing a rental income, that's about where we need to be, and to do that comfortably. Because again, I'm healthy. I actually enjoy what I do, but it's not something I want to do long term. I'd rather travel, spend time with the family, and I think that's so true for everybody. But that's about where we think we need to be, Clayton.
And for a lot of our listeners, that $5,000 a month is a total life changer. And it can be a total. It really can be. So how has that $5,000 a month right now? And you've probably going to be adding another $3,000 just when these are done rehab and the new construction is done. So you'll be about $8,000. So how has that $5,000 kind of affected things for you and your wife right now?
Well, we haven't realized it, because one of the things also I learned from you is that, look, if I can survive off of what I've got income wise and all this over here, and I'm from Louisiana, and we used to call that lagniappe, just a little bit extra, a little bit more. we're putting that aside, and we're just, hey, we're not going to touch that. Let's just let that build up. Let's that be a nest egg, maybe to replace some of the monies that we're putting into properties. And again, that's just my conservative nature, but that's the way I want to look at it, to the point where we're making that $8,000 a month and something, we can sit back and say, wow, look at this thing building up over here. It's a ability to exhale and say, you know what? We need a new roof. The AC went out. Well, it's not that big a stretch. We've got that kind of income coming in. We can take care of that literally just right then and there. So it's given us the ability just to relax just a little bit. But having said that, we want to stay on edge a little bit, again, to get to that point, your freedom number, or our freedom number, rather, where we get to that point where we can really exhale and say, wow, this looks like we want to do just what Clayton did and retire here.
Oh, I know the retirement feeling. It does feel good to know that passive income is coming in. So I want to talk a little bit about your tax strategy now, just a little bit about depreciation, your business entity structure, how you're looking at, your trust, or if you've set up a trust, any of those pieces. These are questions we get a lot in the office, obviously, as people start to grow their portfolio. So just on taxes, this year, so you bought some in 2016. And now in 2017, you're going to have a lot more to be able to claim, for depreciation, right, and to be able to write off on your taxes. What has your accountant been telling you? And take me through that process a little bit.
Well, we actually haven't gotten to that point just yet, Clay, because as you said, we purchased our first one in October of 16. We didn't have any income off of it. I had, you know, I let her know, hey, we purchased this as a rental property. And her first question, well, did you derive any income off of it? No, we didn't. So, all right, well, let's put that aside till next year. So we haven't actually had the opportunity to lay things out in large measure and say, this is what we purchased. This is our rental income. This is depreciation, everything else. Now, having said that, I've got it on my calendar to contact her this week and literally lay everything out that we've done, our income, and prepare for January 1, when we'll have to really get down into the details. So I'm a little bit shy on particulars for that.
Well, that's good though, because now you're taking the steps. And once you realize, you know, that you've purchased these in an LLC.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct.
Right. So now these are a business purchase for, you know, your company and a business expense and a fantastic write-off for your new business, which is going to, you know, be a game changer for taxable income. As you know, as Tom Wheelwright likes to say, if you're a real estate investor and you're paying taxes, you're doing it wrong. So
that's right.
So let's talk a little bit about the structuring beyond that. So, okay, we'll figure out the taxes this year and when you're working with your accountant as you're adding new properties to your mix. But what about thinking about long-term planning for, you know, for your girls?
Right, right. Well, our daughter who's in real estate right now, we obviously would like to, it'd be great benefit to have her come into our business and literally, I guess you'd say work for us, but obviously it's an opportunity for her to learn firsthand about the rental income, rental property business. And again, take it that next step where she's not working for someone just to derive that income for herself. So that's kind of what I'd look forward to. Now, whether or not she has those same interests 5 years, 10 years down the road, we'll see. I'm not going to push her if that's not where she wants to go. But obviously, it's an opportunity to provide income for both of them when we're gone. And, you know, thinking about the opportunities there, Clayton, Lisa and I both have life insurance. And at some point in time, you say, why am I paying for that life insurance policy? I'm going to leave them something that's so much more valuable that will last them, could last them through their lifetime and beyond if handled properly.
Right.
So for us, we haven't even thought about a trust or anything like that as of yet, that particular structure, but it's been more of, how about an education for them? Meaning, look, this is what we're doing and this is why we're doing it. We'd love for you to be a part of it. If you desire, we'd be happy to show you how we've done it and how you can be a part of this going forward.
Guess what? At my company right now, Morris Invest, we are hiring. We are hiring big time for the new year. It's 2018. A new year has begun. And if you're setting new goals for your business, it's extremely difficult to reach them without the right people on your team. And ZipRecruiter has transformed how you go about finding them. So, personal story. We, right before the holidays, we're opening a brand new office in New Jersey. We just opened a third office in our Indianapolis market. So we're hiring a bunch of great team members right now, new office managers. We ordered a bunch of computers and furniture, and we're in the process of hiring the right people. So posted a great ad on ZipRecruiter, and it's amazing because all I needed is to find great talent in a short amount of time. And I don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find my perfect hire. All you have to do is you turn your job over to hundreds of the web's leading job boards with just one click. It's super easy to do. ZipRecruiter posts your job to over 100 job boards with one click. I mean, I don't have to go through all of these different job boards. So I was hiring an executive assistant for our new office, and ZipRecruiter actively looks for the most qualified candidates and then invites them to apply. And so it was amazing. I posted this right before the holiday, and I said to my wife, I can't believe the level of candidates that I had coming in. I saw an executive assistant come in from a Fortune 500 company who wanted to work for Morris Invest. I was like, this is amazing. ZipRecruiter is amazing. It's different. It's unlike any other hiring sites. I'm not throwing up garbage on like Craigslist or anything like that. And it's amazing. They don't have to depend on the right candidates finding you. It goes out and finds them. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate, a quality candidate, through the site in just one day. Literally in like 12 hours, I was seeing qualified candidates. And I said to Natalie, this is amazing. We're going to have so many, you know, great people working on our team. So as we opened the new office, we were hiring for a bunch of different positions. We're just going to explode things in 2018. And I can't wait. So find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/investing. You have to go to that address. That's ZipRecruiter.com/investing. One more time. Try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/investing. Awesome stuff. Check them out today. I am a huge fan of ZipRecruiter. Thank you, guys. One thing to consider too is that, you know, as your daughter is a real estate professional, under the tax law, and as Tom Wheelwright has spoken about here on our show, as a real estate professional, she gets some additional benefits, having worked, I think it's over 750 hours a year in, you have to, you know, don't quote me on the exact numbers. This is where you want to talk to your accountant. But with her being a real estate professional with, I think, over 750 hours a year of active real estate, you know, working, whether it's as an agent, as a, you know, property manager, as a broker, whatever it is. Now, if you bring her into your LLC, now the tax benefits for your LLC change a little bit, and you want to talk to your accountant about this. This could really benefit you and the family if she becomes part of that business.
It moves from
passive income into active income. And so there's a couple of different things you want to consider, and the tax benefits actually increase if you're able to sort of spend that additional time. Now, obviously, the tax benefits of having passive income with real estate are phenomenal, but having someone who is actually in the real estate business and who has those hours that they can prove to the IRS, that's an additional sort of game changer for you, something to consider.
Very good. Yeah, very good. I'll research that. Thank you.
Sure. And I should also mention, for those of our listeners who are curious about estate planning, we've had, I think, one of the best estate planners in the country on the show, Andrew Howell. He's an attorney. If you go back to episode 167, Andrew Howell talks about the basics of estate planning for legacy wealth building. He's really fantastic. And his law firm, York, Howell, and Goyman out in Utah, we've had a lot of our clients use them to set up their estate. It takes a little bit of time, takes a few months of like them being on the phone with you, kind of walking through how do you want to hand your properties down to your family? How does this want to be managed? All of those questions, you've got 20 properties, that needs to go somewhere. You know, you can't leave that to chance. You don't want the courts handling that for you.
That's right.
So I would check out Andrew Howell if anyone's listening, curious about setting up your estate. It's one of those things that I find among my friends who are business, you know, savvy, and we get together and talk football on a Sunday and hang out. And it's amazing how many of them just don't have an estate plan set up yet, but they are traveling for work. They're making good money. They do all sorts of things. And yet they don't have their estate set up. And that's just such a crucial piece of this puzzle that I know it doesn't sound, you know, it doesn't sound exciting and it sounds a little daunting, but it's something that everyone who's listening should really start thinking about.
Yeah, and absolutely, Clayton. And as a business owner, I know how important it is to take care of those things up front rather than in arrears, because you can really get yourself in a place you don't want to be. And you also can set it up to the point where it really works nice and the way it's supposed to. And, you know, you don't have IRS and things like that knocking at the door at all hours.
Well, that's great. So let's talk as we wrap things up here, Paul. What's next for you? Obviously, you've got the package of properties that you're looking at. You're growing. You're closing on three more next week with us. That's great. Where do you go in the next 2 years?
Well, we still have some of our portfolio that we want to take out of equities and mutual funds and what have you, and put that into rental properties. And as you and I talked last week, after that's accomplished, we're going to seek financing, additional financing, equity financing against the portfolio we have, and hopefully do the same exact thing. Take that money and put it into more rental properties, you know, maybe diversify a little bit geologically or geographically, like you and I have talked. But that's what we want to do. Take what we've got, put financing against that, and invest in more real estate. And we'd like to just continue the process on. I'd like to, like I said, retire in the not too distant future, and have a nice nest egg put aside from our rental properties. That you know, things are not a stretch. We're not sweating it for the end of the month and more bills and less money. So.
That's great. Yeah, spread it out a little bit. We're in the top three rental markets in the country. So I think you're heavy into Indianapolis, which is great. We've got our Jacksonville market, which is fantastic, and our Michigan market as well. So, well, good, okay. Good. Well, I'm super excited for you, Paul. And I love to hear these stories as you know, life kind of hits you upside the head sometimes when your wife, you know, gets downsized, loses her job, and you're having to think, okay, how are we going to do this? I don't want to live off Social Security. I want a real change for my family. And I love that you've taken action like this. And, you know, for those people out there that are thinking, well, I don't know, should I do it? What would you say to those people?
Number one, I say, do it. Absolutely. We were comfortable to the point we had a pretty good nest egg. And we had it in securities in the market. And guys, as you well know, it's up and down. It's emotional. It could be gone tomorrow in a good market crash. And we thought, oh my goodness, this is not the place to put our retirement. We'd be sweating every step of the way. Could we retire? Would we retire? When are we going to spend that principal? And worst of all, if we live to 85, 90, would we have anything left for our kids once we're gone? So I'd say do it. My only regret is that we didn't start it 15, 20 years ago. Again, I knew about the rental income. I had friends that were in it. I just didn't think that I could do it. I just didn't think there was a vehicle to get me where I wanted to go. And again, when I heard your podcast, when I listened to what you were doing, this is absolutely perfect for somebody like me. I don't have time to go out there and find them and rehab and what have you. And you guys do, and you've done a wonderful job for me. We will continue to invest with Morris Invest. So,
well, thank you, Paul. I really appreciate that. And you know, and not that this is any kind of commercial for us. I just really wanted to hear about your journey, and I love.
Sure.
I mean, you know, that you've got like this large portfolio, and you're really in this transitional phase right now. I think it'd be great to share with our audience. So, I really appreciate you saying that, and much love to you and your family, my friend, and continued success. And we will help you to continue grow that. And thanks for all of your insight today. I think a lot of people are going to get some great insight from your journey. Thanks, Paul.
Yes, I hope so. Thank you, Clayton.
And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. As you know, we publish this show 3 times a week where we really try to help you build legacy wealth for you and your family. We answer all sorts of questions here, or we try to, whether it's about taxes, Section 8 tenants, how to defer your taxes for real estate, all of that. How to use HUD homes to get started in real estate investing. If you go back into the archives, you can enjoy some of those past episodes, particularly though, as I mentioned here, episode 167 with Andrew Howell. Basic estate planning. That's something that Paul and I just spoke about for legacy wealth building. A really important episode I want you to go back and listen to. Well, thanks so much, everyone, for downloading and subscribing. We will see you back here next time on another episode of Investing in Real Estate. Now go out there, take action, and become a real estate investor. Much love to you all.